Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Asset Allocation Report for July 29th, 2024. I'm Phil Adler. As the Federal Reserve this year delayed interest rate cuts, signs of impatience have become more evident. For one thing, we've read and heard opinions in recent months questioning the current working relationship between the Fed and the federal government, known as central bank independence. Bottom line seems to be that the Fed might be more responsive to the desires of the people if the executive branch exerted more influence. Confluence Investment Management Associate Market Strategist Thomas Wash joins us today to discuss the price we pay for central bank independence and takeaways for investors. Thomas, first, just how independent is the Federal Reserve Bank, really?
Phil, that is an excellent question. While many believe the Federal Reserve operates independently, Congress and the President ultimately sets its primary goals, which include price stability, maximum employment, and moderate long-term interest rates, as outlined in the Federal Reserve Act of 1977. However, the Fed enjoys considerable discretion in determining the specific tools and strategies to achieve these objectives, such as setting interest rates and conducting open market operations.
How did we arrive at this current relationship of independence between the Federal Reserve and the federal government?
Well, the foundation for the Federal Reserve's independence was laid in the aftermath of the Korean War. During the conflict, the central bank supported government financing by maintaining low interest rates, which included yield curve control. However, rising inflation prompted concerns about the policy's efficacy. This led to a contentious standoff between the Federal Reserve and then-President Harry Truman, ultimately culminating in the Treasury-Fed Accord of 1951. Now, this agreement granted the Federal Reserve greater autonomy to use monetary policy tools for achieving macroeconomic objectives, establishing a precedent for the central bank's role today.
But just to be clear, there are no laws governing this independent status.
Yeah, so let's just say it's a bit of a gray area. As a semi-autonomous organization, the Fed has powers that other agencies simply don't. For instance, it can set its own budget and generate its own revenue. Now, this independence has led to demands for more oversight, but that's neither here nor there. That said, the Fed isn't completely unchecked. Congress keeps an eye on things by making the Fed chair testify about decisions and their economic effects. Plus, the president picks the Fed's board of governors and the Senate approves them, giving them a big say in who makes policy.
Well, since the 70s, investors have come to expect that the Fed will raise interest rates to bring down inflation and will cut interest rates to stimulate the economy. Has this been an effective strategy?
Well, the market seems to think so. Paul Volcker's aggressive monetary tightening dramatically shifted investor sentiment. By demonstrating a resolute commitment to curbing inflation, even at the cost of economic pain, he reassured foreign creditors. This newfound confidence underpinned the historically long bond bull market that recently concluded. However, critics argue that the Federal Reserve has been overly hesitant to raise rates in recent years, maintaining excessively low rates for way too long. This policy, they contend, has fueled government spending and contributed to the current economic challenges.
Thomas, as you point out in your report, what benefits financial markets doesn't always translate to political popularity. Does this boil down to a reality that politicians desire quick solutions while bankers have a longer-term view?
Let me say this. Investors fundamentally abhor uncertainty. When governments inject substantial spending into the economy, there's a heightened risk of overheating, which leads to inflation. Now, to counter this, investors crave confidence in the Federal Reserve's ability to swiftly raise interest rates at the first sign of inflationary pressure. Now, this assurance is crucial for investors to feel adequately compensated for taking on risks. Lawmakers, on the other hand, they prefer borrowing costs to be lower, as it will help lead to more jobs and higher consumption, which aid in their ability to be reelected to office.
Thomas, there are even some concerns voiced today that by raising rates, the Fed might be contributing to inflation instead of managing it because the price of housing, both purchases and rentals, goes up in tandem with rates when supply is constrained. Do you think there is validity to this argument?
While the theory that higher interest rates can sometimes lead to higher inflation has gained traction, It's tough to isolate the impact definitively, especially with factors like labor shortages and soaring material costs hindering housing construction. Now, the Fed remains focused on taming overall inflation by dampening demand, and they're seemingly less concerned about potential supply-side effects. Plus, the Fed has stuck to its guns on focusing on overall inflation numbers rather than drilling down into specific price increases.
Thomas, how does today's rising federal debt complicate the relationship between the central bank and lawmakers?
Well, the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes have dramatically increased the government's borrowing costs. In fact, these costs now exceed defense spending. Consequently, the government's capacity to issue new debt for initiatives like tax cuts or expanded Social Security benefits is significantly constrained.
What might be the dangers of a situation where we see a weakened central bank operating under a revised framework which requires the Fed to consult with the president on interest rate decisions?
In our view, the loss of the Fed's independence would fundamentally change how people view U.S. dollar-denominated assets. Historically, when faith in the dollar has eroded, as it did when Richard Nixon closed the gold window in 1971, investors have sought to diversify away from the dollar to protect themselves from potential currency debasement. As a result, a weakened Fed could lead to a significant shift in global investment preferences away from U.S. assets.
So, would you say independence is a key to credibility, and credibility is key to the Fed's efforts to contain inflation?
I think that's an interesting way to frame the question. Essentially, you're asking about the Fed's credibility and its impact on market confidence and inflation expectations. While both are crucial, I believe the Fed's credibility is more critical for market confidence. Now, investors use financial assets as a vehicle to transfer savings into the future. Now, inflation is a key factor in calculating the expected return on these assets or risk premium. Therefore, the Fed's role in shielding investors from inflation risk is important for financial markets. However, the Fed's ability to influence people's expectations about inflation is uncertain. Most people base their ideas about future prices on what they're actually paying for things, not on what the Fed does.
Would you say the price we pay for central bank independence is a slow growth or even declining economy for longer periods of time?
Yeah, I would agree with that. An independent central bank serves as a crucial check on government overreach. By insulating monetary policy from political pressures, the Fed can prioritize long-term economic health over short-term electoral gains. This prevents policymakers from resorting to inflationary policies or excessive debt spending to win elections at the expense of future prosperity.
And has there been fairly broad agreement in the past that the price of a slow-growth economy is worth it if inflation is contained?
Yes. Many people agree that a politicized Federal Reserve can contribute to excessive government spending. You know, before Paul Volcker, presidents frequently pressured the central bank into maintaining low interest rates to stimulate the economy, despite the Treasury Fed Accord of 1951. The Nixon-Burns and Carter-Miller relationships exemplify this trend. Now, the resulting rampant inflation of the 1970s and 1980s is a stark testament to this current era. Ironically, Volcker's aggressive monetary tightening is lauded as a great triumph in American history, despite the fact that it caused a double-dip recession.
Do you think, Thomas, that possible challenges to central bank independence will begin to lose steam as rates come down?
I'm not that optimistic. The political climate is so tense that any action by the Federal Reserve will likely be perceived as benefiting one party over another. So, for example, former President Donald Trump has expressed his opinion that the Fed should not cut rates before the election. At the same time, Elizabeth Warren has criticized the central bank for not lowering rates sooner. As a result, conversation over Fed independence will continue whether or not they cut rates in September, as the market expects, and this will not change no matter which party wins the White House in November.
Do you see any sign, Thomas, that increasing attention to the usefulness of central bank independence is affecting the markets today?
We're getting some signs of that. You know, it looks like the market's starting to worry that the Fed might not be as independent as it used to be. But this isn't exactly new. We think the big market move toward the end of 2023, as we call it, the Fed's, you know, fake out about interest rates going down, was actually the central bank and the Treasury working together. In our view, they were trying to stop long-term bond rates from getting above 5%. So the Fed's talked about cutting rates and the Treasury shifted its borrowings to short-term debt.
Does Confluence Investment Management have an opinion on whether the Fed will in fact become in time less independent of lawmakers and the effect this might have on investment strategy?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but things are looking like the central bank might have to give up some control as the government's debt problem gets worse. We think gold could be a good way to protect your money from this risk. If people start losing faith in the Fed's independence, they'll probably want to own less dollars and start exploring alternative assets. Gold could be a good way to do that, given its history and track record as a currency debasement asset.
Thank you, Thomas. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice, and this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.